At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends. Welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of your Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of your Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you after a loss for the Hornets. Unfortunately, it is a silver linings edition of the HHC as the Hornets fall in our nation's capital last night, 112-100 against the Washington Wizards. Wizards snap a 16-game losing streak. The Hornets have their skid slide to now 6 games consecutively lost here. We'll break this one down for you, provide you with our silver lining performances. There were a couple of big ones in the game last night, and it's also a game day edition of the HHC, so Charlotte able to shake this one off and move forward with the game tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. It'll be 7:04 night here at the Hive, too. Be sure to get your tickets at Hornets.com or through the Hornets app if you are within shouting distance. And helping me out on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, our back-to-back specialist here on the HHC, the one and only Sam Perley. Sam, thank you for joining me on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. It's one was not great for the Hornets, did not get off the greatest of starts, but thank you for joining me nonetheless here on today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast.
Of course, thank you for having me. Yeah, it didn't look so good at the start, and then it started to look a little better, and then it was looking pretty good, and then it quickly did not look so great, and that's how it finished there in the fourth quarter. Very kind of interesting up and down game.
Yes, very up and down is one way to put it as we take a recap look at this one, as Charlotte in the contest came into this one a little bit shaken up. The Wizards were without three of their own players, but Hornets also had some people missing in this one as well. As you take a look at it, I mean, you had no LaMelo Ball, no Mark Williams, no Seth Curry, no Cody Martin. Those are the ones that are kind of considered the, I want to say, maybe status quo here moving forward here. We know that those guys have some longer term injuries or aren't going to be day to day and have some ones that need to be reevaluated moving forward, but that's not an excuse here for Charlotte. No Trey Mann in this one as well. He was dealing with a groin strain, so he was held out of this one as well. Hopefully it's not a very long-term thing, but Hornets got off to a little bit of a rocky start. Washington jumped out to a 24-16 lead early on in this one as the Hornets were trying to just do anything they can to scrape by offensively, as the Hornets started the game 0-for-9 from beyond the arc there in that first quarter. Wizards weren't much better, 2-for-9 from three-point land, but they were shooting 43%. Hornets were shooting at about just a 29% clip in this one, so things weren't going the greatest for Charlotte offensively. Offensively, Miles Bridges did have 6 points and 5 rebounds there in that first quarter alone. But we go to the second frame. The Hornets finally hit a three with about 4:50 left to go there in the first half. They started the game 0-for-17 from beyond the arc. Thomas Bertans was able to see one fall down. He saw two fall down. Grant Williams had one fall down as well, and kind of opened up the floodgates a little bit, but Charlotte was still 3-of-22 from beyond the arc there in that first half. The Wizards were 3-of-18 from three, so not much better, but the Hornets were able to at least erase a 15-point deficit there in that first half. They got it down to three going into the locker room as the Hornets closed the half on an 18-7 run in the final 4 minutes and 24 seconds. Miles Bridges had 13 points in that first half, but the problem was he was just 6-of-16 shooting from the field, including an 0-for-6 clip from beyond the arc. But we go to the third quarter. Hornets win that frame 31-20 over the Wizards. They led it by 8 going into the fourth quarter. Miles Bridges accounted for 68% Charlotte's points in that third quarter. He had 15 points in the frame. He also had two assists that resulted in 6 points for the Hornets as well. So Charlotte looking good going into the fourth quarter, but the Wizards exploded in that final frame, 44-24, outscoring the Hornets. They shot 80% from the field, 16-20, and they were also 10-for-10 at the free throw line as the Hornets got into a little bit of foul trouble there in the fourth quarter, and Charlotte just went cold at the wrong time, 1-for-9 from three in the final frame. But before I get your thoughts, Sam, here are the thoughts of Steve Clifford after the game about what transpired in the contest.
Thought we played not a good first quarter, really good second quarter, but we played a terrific third quarter, but we just, you know, again, you got to get your defense set.
Short, sweet, and to the point, as Charlotte falls in this one 112-100. They are now 15-48 on the season. But Sam Perley, your thoughts on this game, because the Hornets didn't get off to a great start offensively, and it seemed like it kind of spilled over defensively, especially in that fourth quarter as well.
Yeah, just a very kind of weird game. Saw a lot of the same similar offensive issues in that first quarter, not being able to get to the paint, not being able to create off the dribble, kickouts, things like that, not a whole lot of ball movement. Some of that is just, you know, it's a personnel thing, it's a depth thing. You know, the Wizards have some decent length to their defense, and then when you finally start getting rolling there in the second quarter, and then had the 26-8 run there in the third quarter and feeling good, and you know, just start of that fourth quarter, you could just feel it kind of shifting a little bit. They had, you know, I think they might have broke the lineup or had the broken lineup there at the start of the fourth quarter, and it just felt like Kuzma, Avdija, who's been playing better this season, was on a little bit of a tough stretch, was playing really well coming into the All-Star break. And then Rashawn Holmes, too, was a pickup for them at the All-Star break. All had double figures there in the fourth quarter for Washington. And it just, I think they came into the game, I think they were top two in fast break points and maybe third in points off turnovers. So even though they don't have the wins, losses, obviously don't have a whole lot of wins this year compared to losses, you know, they're a team that can really, really move. They've got transition players. They play a very fast, get you on your heels type of offense. And that's exactly what they did there in the fourth quarter. 44 points. That's the most Hornets have given up in the fourth quarter since the infamous Zach LaVine game in November of 2019. Wizards also shot 80% and had a 17-3 advantage in rebounding in the fourth quarter, which again is going to happen when you're not missing many shots. There's not going to be a whole lot of defensive rebounds to get, but just a really, really just lopsided clunker of a quarter for the Hornets, and that was all it took. I mean, you can put yourself in good position through three quarters, had about a 10-point lead there at the start of the fourth quarter after that opening putback dunk, and all it takes is a few minutes, and it just completely turns the other way, and that's exactly what happened in this one.
It definitely felt like in that fourth quarter that momentum was wearing red on the road, at least for the Hornets. It was a home game for the Wizards again. Ended up snapping that 16-game losing streak, which was tied for a franchise record. Hornets not able to put that one down in the history books last night, unfortunately, with the 112-100 loss, but a lot of silver linings to pick in this one. One more stat to kind of keep an eye on in this one, or at least mention here as I peel over the box score a little bit, is the rebounding. You touched on it there a little bit, but that was kind of the bugaboo for both of these teams going into this one. Neither team rebounded the ball particularly well. The Hornets there at halftime had 9 offensive rebounds. It resulted in 15 second chance points. They finished the game with 13 offensive boards and 19 second chance points. So that tells me that that cleaned up a little bit there in the second half by the Wizards, that only added, what, 4 rebounds there, the Hornets did in the second half, and it resulted in only 4 second chance point opportunities. And I know a lot of that had to do with the Hornets shooting the ball a little bit better there. I mean, they shot 52% in the third quarter, and they shot 38% in that fourth frame, so not as great, but definitely not as bad as the 29% and the 42% that they had in the first half, in the first and second quarter respectively. So that got cleaned up a little bit, but the rebounding in general too. The Wizards had one of their best rebounding games of the season. They tied a season high with 54 rebounds, and they out-rebounded the Hornets 54-48 in that category. So Hornets had a little bit of difficulty there snatching the ball up and trying to get down to some one-and-done chances and that sort of thing, but Charlotte ultimately falls 112-100 in the game last night. Give credit where credit's due. Kyle Kuzma had 14 of his 28 in the fourth quarter alone. Denny Avdija had 11 of his 18 in the fourth quarter. Their stars definitely showed up there in that final frame to push them across the finish line, and that's going to happen when you get outscored 44-24, especially in the fourth quarter. So Kuzma had a team-high 28. They had some other guys step up as well. Jordan Poole, 15 points off the bench. Corey Kispert had 13 off the bench. Avdija with those 18, like I mentioned. Rashawn Holmes had a double-double with 14 points and 11 boards. Bilal Coulibaly was in double figures with 11 as well. But Miles Bridges with a game-high 32 points in this one. He also had a double-double with 12 points. Nick Richards double-double with 10 points and 13 rebounds. Brandon Miller had a blackjack 21. And Vasilij Micic had 14 points on a starting role. Davis Bertans 11 points off the bench as well. Some of the highlights in the box score as well. Which leads us to our next segment here on the Hornets Hivecast. That's Silver Linings. We're going to touch on those right after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
It is unfortunately a Silver Linings edition of the HHC. Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, with you here on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast, as always, presented by Senta. And Sam, time now for our Silver Linings here in the game last night. Hornets fall 112-100 on the road at DC. Good news is, though, that they get to play the Brooklyn Nets coming up here today, and we will have your game preview for you here momentarily. But we still got to touch on our Silver Linings. Who is your Silver Lining performance from last night's game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miles Bridges. Like you said, game high 32 points in this one. Shot 13 of 27. It was a little odd. He was 12 of 17 from inside the arc, but only 1 of 10 from three-point range. Just couldn't get that outside shot going. Also had 12 boards, 4 assists, a block, and no turnovers, which is pretty good considering how high his usage rate was and how long he was out on the court for 41 minutes. So I believe that is his 16th double-double of the season and 7th in 11 outings. Good to see him have a somewhat of an interesting efficiency game, just comparing the 2 and 3 point shooting discrepancies. But I guess overall, he was around 50%. The last couple games, he hasn't been shooting great, particularly against Orlando today. He only had 7 points. So this is Miles' first 30-point game since that career-high 45-point game he had back on February 7th against Toronto. So it was a little bit of a dry spell. Last couple games, shots weren't falling. Good to see him get going in this one. I think he had 15 in the third and was a big part of that 26-8 run there for the Hornets. So good performance from Miles overall, especially from the scoring and rebounding categories.
Kuzma has it poked away by Brandon Miller. Recovery, Miles Bridges. Bridges on the breakout. Bridges takes it to the rack, goes up off glass. It's good. Miles Bridges finishing in transition off the takeaway.
That was the biggest issue for me that you touched on there, was just a weird shooting line. I mean, 0 for 6 from 3 to start the game in that first half, but everything inside the three-point arc was good. I mean, at one point he was getting after it, especially finishing at the rim. I thought he did a really good job doing that, and I mean, it's just one of those things where sometimes you have an off shooting night, and unfortunately Miles has definitely struggled here from beyond the arc as of late, and 1 for 10 is definitely going to say that in the box score. And I want to say going into this one in his last five, he was like, I want to say 29% from beyond the arc there. I mentioned it on the podcast the other day with Sam Farber as we were previewing this one, but definitely would like to see that round into form a little bit. And I think a lot of that has to do with some spacing, especially with some of the injuries here as well. But at one point, Miles was 12 of 24 from the field. And in that third quarter, I mean, I thought he was really good, 6 of 8 from the field in the third quarter alone. Like I mentioned, accounted for 68% of Charlotte's 31 points there in that third quarter, I mean, 21 of the 31 were because of Miles, whether he was scoring it at the rim or dishing it out on a couple of assists as well. But after the game, Miles talked about the game that he had, and he mentioned that most of it was because of his teammates finding him.
Just moving out the basketball, getting to the rim more, getting to the free throw line, I feel like that helped me a lot. My teammates set me up on a lot of those plays, so yeah, my teammates.
For me, I got to go in a different direction, obviously, in terms of silver lining performances. I'm going to take the rookie once again. That's Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller cuts the cup, goes up, and throws down the dunk, plus the foul, the hoop, and the harm. Miller letting out some frustration on the iron.
Finished with the blackjack, 21 points, 6 rebounds. He was 8 of 19 from the field. Again, the three-point shooting wasn't great, but once again, nobody shot the ball well from beyond the arc. The Hornets as a team were 9 of 42 from three-point land. That's about 21%. Brandon himself was 2 of 7 from the three-point line. So again, things just didn't go the way three-point-wise for the Hornets in the game last night, but I thought Brandon hung in there. I thought he played tough, had a couple big rebounds. He finishes with 6 of them, and he's just a guy that's going to be really consistent. I mean, from the field in general, he was 8 and 19 shooting. Not the best, not the worst. Pretty pedestrian, more or less, for lack of a better term, but Brandon Miller has been that guy that has shown that he can either be the primary scorer or he can be the running mate, depending on how the other team is going to play him. He does a really good job taking what the defense gives him, and I thought yesterday was definitely a pretty good way to show that and display that as well. And he made a little bit of history. He was able to tie LaMelo Ball for the longest streak of games with a made three-pointer for a Hornets rookie. He will try to break that record here today, or later tonight, I suppose, taking on the Brooklyn Nets, which leads us to our game preview. Hornets, Nets, coming up here later tonight here at the Hive. 7:04 night here at Spectrum Center. Be sure to get your tickets at Hornets.com. We'll get you set with a game preview right after these messages here on a Hornets Hivecast presented by Senta.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Everybody on the team hates losing, so it's not really hard for everybody to lock back in. So we just got to come in next game more focused, more ready to play.
That's Miles Bridges after a 112-100 loss at Washington in last night's contest for the Hornets. Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, getting you set for a game preview of tonight's matchup. The Hornets taking on the Brooklyn Nets here at the Hive as a little bit of a primer to get you caught up on this one. Of course, we'll get into our players to watch and our stats to watch as well here in a few moments. But Hornets and Nets haven't faced off since the end of November. Miles Bridges had a pretty good game in that one. It ended up being a 129-128 win on the road. Miles finished with 23 points that night, and at the time, of course, Terry Rozier is still a member of the Hornets. He finished with a game-high 37 points in that one, scored 10 of Charlotte's final 12 points, and a lot has changed for both of these teams, coupled moves at the deadline for both sides. Brooklyn's been up and down this season, but mostly down, especially as of late. They are sitting at about 3.5 games out of the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference. They fired Jacque Vaughn after the All-Star break, or during the All-Star break, I should say, and replaced him with Kevin Ollie. He's got a 4-5 coaching record since taking over. Last three games for Brooklyn, it's been kind of weird. They lost to Memphis, then they beat Philadelphia on the second night of a back-to-back, and then they lost at Detroit on Thursday, 118-112. Dennis Schroeder had a game-high, or a team-high, I should say, 31 points in that loss, and the Nets also, for what it's worth, have ruled out Ben Simmons for the remainder of the season. I don't think that's too much of a surprise between A, the way that the season has gone for the Nets, and B, the way that the career recently, as of late, has gone for Ben Simmons. But he ended up only playing 15 games, in the campaign this year, and he will be shut down as he tries to get that back right a little bit here for next season. But that's a little bit of a primer as we get ready for this one. So, Sam, you know how these things work. We need a Hornet to watch, a Net to watch, and a Stat to watch. Where would you like to begin?
I'll go in my normal order. I switched it up last time. I'll go back to what I usually do. Hornet to watch. I will go with Nick Richards in this one. Coming off a double-double last night, had 10 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. You definitely feel it took him maybe a little bit to start the game to kind of get into the flow of things, but once they were able to start kind of feeding him a little bit in there and still maybe shaking off a little bit of rust from the recent, I think he sat out a game recently with the foot injury and seems to be kind of back into his normal form. So like his physicality, like his aggressiveness as the game went on. We'd like to see a little bit more of that from the start, but overall it was a really good performance from Nick Richards. Also had 5 offensive rebounds in this one, and a couple steals and a block, and only played 30 minutes. So looking for more of that tonight against a Nets team that he was not available to play the last time the Hornets faced them, that dramatic 1-point win up in Brooklyn at the end of November.
It's a good pick. It's a solid pick for me. There's a couple of people I'm taking a look at. I'm going to go with Grant Williams in this one, and mostly for the fact that I like to see people have bounce back games after a game that they don't play particularly well. Grant, unfortunately, didn't have the best of games in the contest last night. And again, it was a little bit of a different starting five for the Hornets because of no Trey Mann in the game yesterday. He wasn't available with that groin strain. So the starting five was Vasilije Micic, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges. Grant Williams got to start at the four, technically, and then Nick Richards was the center. So Grant was playing in a role that he's used to, but he doesn't really start a whole lot ever since coming over from Dallas. He's gotten a spot start there at that small ball five when Nick Richards had to be sat out for that one game. But Grant in the game last night, 5 points, just 2 of 10 from the field shooting, had a rough go of it, 1 for 5 from beyond the arc, and he missed all 3 of his free throws, which is a little uncharacteristic. And he did other things. He had 4 rebounds and he had 5 assists and a block and a steal, played defense, but again, just not a great game overall offensively from Grant Williams. So I'm interested to see if Trey Mann is available for tonight's game. We don't know the status of him as of the recording of this podcast, but if he is able to go, I think that will help out Grant Williams because he'll be able to slot back coming off the bench in a role that I think he's really, really excelled in ever since coming over from Dallas at the trade deadline. But if he does get to start, it's another thing too where he's going to have a little bit of a bounce back game for the Hornets to have a chance against Brooklyn tonight. So I will go with Grant Williams as my player to watch. Where would you like to go next? Would you like to go with a Net or a Stat?
I will go with a Net, and I'm going to pick another Nick in Nick Claxton. Claxton had 20 points, 14 rebounds, and a career-high 9 offensive boards. Last time these two teams met, again, that was back on November 30th. Nick Richards did not play in that game. Mark Williams did. Actually, I believe it was the game that Mark Williams is back. Injury issues slowly started beginning, but that's besides the point. Claxton's been really good this year, very solid for a Nets team. I know they have not had the best of runs since maybe around Christmas time. They've gone, I think, 10-23 since right around the start of the new year, but very solid guy, great rebounder, physical, great rim runner, and kind of he's a guy that you look at him and he kind of plays bigger than he looks, if that makes sense. He's good at getting his hands on rebounds, tip outs, second chance. You know, he creates a lot of extra possessions. He reminds me a little bit of a lot of the problems the Hornets have had with Mitchell Robinson at times. Just a guy that is good at generating those extra possessions and just kind of getting in the way there in the paint. So I think a battle between both Knicks, although spelled differently, is going to be a big one for the Hornets and kind of getting that paint scoring going and making sure Brooklyn is not, getting whatever they want down there underneath the rim.
I had a feeling that you were going to go with Nick Claxton after you took Nick Richards as your Hornet player to watch, and it makes sense. For me, I'm going to go with Dennis Schroeder simply for the fact that, well, if I'm being honest, I completely forgot that he got traded at the trade deadline. He got shipped over coming from Toronto, was swapped for Spencer Dinwiddie in that trade, and I kind of lost track of it with all the moves at the trade deadline. And he struggled a little bit out of the gates when he was coming to Brooklyn. He was only in single digits scoring wise in 4 of his first 5 games, but since then he's really exploded. He's been in double figures ever since, coming off that 31 point performance on the road at Detroit the other night. I want to say that was a season high for him as well. Yeah, he got to 30 once earlier this season up in Toronto, but a new season high for him the other night against the Detroit Pistons. Somebody's got to score the basketball on that team, and I know there's some other guys like Mikal Bridges can really get relied on as well. Lonnie Walker's another guy that can score the basketball. Nick Claxton, you touched on him a little bit as well, and the ability for him to finish around the rim. But Dennis Schroeder's kind of your prototypical point guard guy who can facilitate a little bit, doesn't do a whole lot of rebounding, but he's a guy that can pass. He can find the open shot, and he can knock it down from everywhere as well. He is 5-7 from beyond the arc in that game in Detroit on Thursday, 12-17 shooting overall. So he was very efficient in a game that he played almost 39 minutes in. So Dennis Schroeder is going to be my player to watch here this evening. Could be a big pick-and-roll matchup between Schroeder and Nick Claxton as well, and see how the Hornets are able to defend that. But with all those things said, we need a statistic to watch. What are you looking at numbers-wise here this evening, Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to be looking at the free throw shooting. Going into last night's slate of NBA games, there are only three teams that were giving up more opposing free throw attempts per game than the Nets, who are at 23.3 opposing free throw attempts, and that's since the All-Star break. I want to say overall, or I guess before the All-Star break, the Nets were maybe up in like ranked 11th or 12th or 13th. They weren't so bad in this area, but since the All-Star break, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a coaching change or personnel change or whatever it is, but they're down in, I think, 27th place at 23.3, while the Hornets are only at giving up the fifth fewest free throw attempts since the All-Star break at 16.9. So definitely two teams that are kind of on the opposite ends in this category. I think that's an area the Hornets have progressively, again, gotten better at this season. It was a big issue earlier in the season, that giving up the fouling and the free throws. We saw a little bit kind of come up there at the start of the fourth quarter that I certainly think changed sort of the dynamic there in last night's loss to the Wizards. But get to the line, take advantage of those easy points if the Nets are going to give them to you, and make sure you're not giving them back on the other end. So free throw disparity, kind of my stats to watch for tonight's game.
Yeah, it kind of crept up a little bit in the game last night for the Hornets. Washington was 20 or 23 at the free throw line. And like I mentioned in the recap edition or the recap segment here on the podcast, Washington was 10 for 10 in the fourth quarter alone at the free throw line. So they didn't get there a whole lot in the third quarter, and the Hornets were able to do some pretty good damage in terms of beating up the score a little bit. And it's one of those things that can be very vital at very inopportune times. And definitely the Wizards were able to take advantage of that last night. But for me, my stat to watch is going to be the rebounding. I think that's something that was an issue for the Hornets last night, obviously getting out rebounded by a Wizards team that had some length, and they're a little wiry, I guess, with guys like Avdija on the wing, and they're able to grab more rebounds maybe than most teams. But the Nets are really good at rebounding the ball, or at least a lot better than the Hornets. I know it's not a whole big spread when you look at it in terms of the averages. Brooklyn ends up with about three or four more rebounds per game than the Hornets do, but the Hornets are second to last in the association in rebounding, and the Wizards, because of that three or four rebound spread, they're about middle of the pack. They're 13th in the NBA when it comes to rebounding the basketball, and a big reason of that is because of your player to watch. That's Nick Claxton. So I think that the Hornets really need to do a better job on the glass tonight. I know they did a great job there in that first half, like I mentioned. On the offensive side of the glass, against the Wizards, where they were able to get 9 offensive boards and it resulted in 15 second chance points. But you got to limit the one and dones as well, as the Nets are another team that can really hurt you, especially from beyond the arc. So you got to limit their opportunities. You got to have them be one and done. I mean, they're pretty solid in terms of shooting the ball. So they're right on par with the Hornets in that sense. So it's going to be even a little bit more or less, but the rebounding can definitely be a big advantage here tonight for the Nets, so the Hornets are going to have to limit those opportunities. That's your game preview. Again, 7:04 night here at Spectrum Center this evening. If you're not in attendance yet to get your tickets, be sure to get them at Hornets.com or through the Hornets app. Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of cool activations going on here in the arena as well, all thanks to our friends over at Ally. Sam Perley, lead writer of Hornets.com, I know you'll be there. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the HHC.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And I will certainly be there as well, hoping for closing this back-to-back much better than it started.
Hornets are hoping so, too. It's snap a 6-game losing streak. The Hornets in need of a W tonight. Be sure to come cheer them on here at The Hive. For Sam Perley, I'm Rob Longo, saying so long. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. We'll talk to you tomorrow with a recap edition of this one, once again, here on the HHC.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.